This episode of The Crunch Zone is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Cardinal basketball when you can't be at the game. For a buy one, get one free entree, text CRUNCH to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Orlando, Florida, and we're lying. This is Mike Lindsay, also known as Crumbs Revenge, and I'm with
Mark Blakenbaker, also known as @UofLSheriff50.
And we're here to talk about the NCAA tournament. Sure, there's spring ball going on, and we'll get some updates as Mark has stopped by and taken a peek at the team. But we're going to focus on the NCAA Bracket Madness and talk about the O-Line Sports Grill Party we're going to have for round two if we win this Saturday. Keeping our fingers crossed. It's The Crunch Zone coming at you right now.
Topic of the week.
All right, Mark, here we are, March Madness. We're over the whole, we got a terrible seed business.
I'm not over it.
Well, you don't have a choice.
I know, I don't have a choice.
They're not reseeding it. We're playing Thursday night. We're not going to talk a lot about Manhattan. Because at the airing of this podcast, we're going to post the same day that we're going to play. I can mention at the press conference today, Patino just said he hated that he had to face Masiello because he's known everything he's done since he was 28 years old. He said that he has ridiculous suits, that he must go into the Italian neighborhoods and buy whatever the brand new thing is that's out, which is really funny. And then he said it's unfortunate for both him and Stevie Mass. He said he watched more of his games this year than any other team because he was rooting for him to make the tournament, and then he makes the tournament, and lo and behold, they have to play each other.
Yeah, I think that was probably the most thing I was most disappointed with. I was looking at the tournament, and I yelled an obscenity at the screen because I just wanted to root for Manhattan this year and Stevie Masiello. And good thing Russ Smith did not go ultimately to Manhattan to be a Jasper after his freshman year, because that would not be a very fun matchup.
We wouldn't be a four seed. Yeah, to be honest,
it wouldn't be a four seed, and Manhattan would probably be a better seed.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe
we might be meeting 8-9.
Yeah. Maybe meeting in the 8-9 matchup, and then that not really the best of things, is it? So I'm really for this region. I mean, I think everybody's really always talked about it already, but three Final Four teams from last year, the last two national champions,
right.
Duke, Kentucky. It's a stacked region traditionally, and then also of really good basketball teams in there as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I wish Louisville could have ended up in the East or West, because those regions definitely seem like they may be a little bit more advantageous.
You know what's funny, though? If you go to thecrunchzone.com, you can check out KenPom bracket analysis that we have posted up there. But as it turns out, according to KenPom, the strongest region in the tournament is the West. They just don't have the contenders. Arizona's pretty good, but it's like everyone can play basketball, so every game should be, there should be a lot of parity.
So a lot of good teams, but not all teams that you really can say can win the tournament.
Right. And where the Midwest is the strongest is the top four seeds. Yeah. So they're the strongest region of the four in the top four seeds. There is a bunch of analysis that goes through the whole region, the top eight seeds, the top four seeds, so you can kind of see where the strength is for that region. And there's also a lot of comparative analysis, some which we might touch on today, of things like how they do in their last 10 games, have they won 6 games in a row during their season, did they win their conference tournament, and more. So as you're kind of looking forward to, you know, if you have already picked your brackets, that's fine, because sometimes they have second weekend brackets that people repick. So it's something you can keep going back to. Come visit the website is frequently and often. And check out some of that KenPom analysis. We're a big fan of KenPom, but certainly there's other guys out there.
Absolutely, and I just look at my bracket, and I don't know who your Final Four is, and maybe we'll talk about it. But I just think that this is wide open for a whole lot of different teams. I mean, we've always seen the double digit seed like crash the Elite Eight.
Yep.
I think that the East region is really set up for that, like in a big way. Maybe your metrics can bear that out.
All right, so let's talk about the East region.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me who you like in the East Ridge, in the East region?
To come out, I like Cincinnati, and I don't know how I got there because I'm like, oh, am I really picking Cincinnati to get out of this bracket right now? Because after I got done with it, you know, I think mainly it's because I don't believe in Virginia, you know, as a one seed, and we all saw, you know, what Villanova did over the course of the season. They're the two, and they have some really bad losses that happened throughout the year, and then again in the conference, in their Big East tournament. Then, you know, you got the three seed is the Iowa State, and yeah, they won the Big 12, but how strong was the Big 12 without Kansas having Joel Embiid, you know? So there's four really big excuses, and everybody has gone ahead and said that Michigan State, you know, is the de facto Final Four team coming out of that. President Obama picked them to win the national championship. I don't believe that because I've seen Michigan State throw in some clunkers.
Yeah.
And I know that they're a very good team. They have some really awesome pieces. But they have some games where they've just absolutely tanked.
You know, going by KenPom, so there's a human element to it of when you make your picks. And there's certainly a human element when these games are won on the court because magic happens in the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
But just strictly going off KenPom, there's some strong numbers behind Virginia. I mean, they're considered elite in both offense and defense in the KenPom. They're top 25 in both. Villanova is the same. They're both top 25 in both. Where Cincinnati comes in weak on KenPom is they're ranked 110th on defense.
Really?
So I don't know that would stand the test of four games in a row if those numbers pan out. But again, that's a season's worth of data. We're talking about a few weeks' worth of play.
Right. I mean, if there's any team, there's two teams in the tournament that have really given Louisville a lot of trouble. That, you know, seemed like it could go a long way. That was Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. You know, Louisville lost 1-1 closely. Memphis beat them twice.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, let me correct myself.
Okay.
Defense is ninth. Offense is 110.
Yeah, okay, I believe sorry about that. I believe that, okay. Absolutely, because they're basically Sean Kilpatrick, some Justin Jackson, and then a whole bunch of guys named Mo on offense. But defensively...
Yeah.
I felt like all year, that's what surprised me, that number. I was like, well, I don't know what's happened the rest of the year. Am I just not seeing their bad defensive game?
Yeah.
but no, I mean, I really believe in Cincinnati. I actually said they were a Final Four team back in January. And, you know, I know that they've had some really head-scratching games too, just like Michigan State. But if you're going to take Michigan State versus Cincinnati in the head-scratcher category, I would side on the Cincinnati part, and maybe that's going to be my own demise because maybe the AAC isn't as good as the Big Ten. But I just like the way Sean Kilpatrick plays. I like the way
he can certainly close out a game in the free throw line.
I love their defense. Yeah, and I love the way that they play. I mean, they're a really tough team.
Well, as I broke it down, just mostly based off just kind of looking at all the factors like. Last 10, you know, Cincinnati kind of was 5-5 in their last 10.
Right.
So that's kind of coming in soft. And then you've got, let's take a look at their profile real quick. East, you said. They're the East. You know, they're not on a current win streak, which just means they didn't win the conference tournament. Last 10, they're actually 6-4. And they did have a 6-game win streak during the season, so that's favorable. Typically, they said that you want to have a good defense, but you want the offense to advance, and that's where they're weak. So... if I had to, you know, based on KenPom, sorry, I have this broken down already. So based on KenPom out of the East, we have safe bets are just your 1 and 2 seeds, Virginia and Villanova. And then the dark horse actually is North Carolina. They have a lot of factors that actually go in their favor. Built for an upset, but ironically not to last, is actually Providence. So they've done really well. They just won the Big East. They got a star player in Bryce Cotton.
Oh, wow.
So I just don't see them going very far. So that's what that category is meant for. But, you know, when you look at it, a lot of times people overthink their picks. You know, usually the better teams do win. So it's about being very selective about who you want to go all in on. And it sounds like you made your team this year Cincinnati.
Well, you know, to get into the Final Four out of that region, I don't think there's a really good option. And that's why I kind of went with them because I see cracks in every single team. Now, your RPI KenPom thing that you put on thecrunchzone.com, kind of supports Virginia quite a bit.
If you see yellow marks, that basically means they're elite in a category.
Yep.
So the more yellows you see, the more elite they are. There's like 9 measurables or something.
Yeah, and so just looking at that, I look at, my eye just jumps straight to Virginia and, somewhat Iowa State and then definitely, again, Villanova. But I really don't believe in any of
those
things.
There's supposed to be more yellow. I got to go back and fix that tomorrow morning.
But there's
middle categories I forgot to do for East and Midwest.
That's okay.
But still, the numbers are there.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going to end up happening out of that region. I just don't like anything out of that region. I feel the same way about the West. I feel like there's only one team in the West region that's really going to do anything, and that's Arizona. And I watched a lot of their basketball.
The O-Line Grill is Cardinal Central for U of L basketball games on TV. Grab your friends and get to O-Line to grab a bucket of domestic beers for $9 or other game time specials like 24 wings and 2 domestic buckets for just $30. If craft beer is your thing, O-Line has several taps, too. Support the Crunch Zone and head there for lunch. And get a buy one, get one free entree by texting CRUNCH to 72727. The O-Line Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport in Louisville's East End on the front line of Cardinal Sports.
But on the numbers, if you look at Okie State, which I see another mistake, if you look at Okie State, Okie State and Gonzaga are actually my dark horses for the region. They play each other. Then they turn around and play Arizona's second round, the number one seed. So, mostly that is a region that's pretty even. San Diego State, is a real popular pick, but they're terrible on offense. Oklahoma's okay. They're terrible on defense. So there's really not a lot of people that show really steady both offense and defense, according to KenPom.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Oklahoma State and Gonzaga actually both do. But they knock each other out, and then they play a one seed. So the question will be, I guess it could be, Wisconsin has a good run. I just don't see them in the Final Four. I think it's going to be Arizona, or it's going to be the Gonzaga-Oklahoma State win.
Yeah, I agree with you on Wisconsin. I think they play a really boring brand of basketball that gets them to win a lot of games over the course of the season, but not a lot of games in a row.
Yeah.
And that's really the key to the NCAA tournament. Can you win 6 games in a row? And, I can tell that you put a lot of work into this, into the spreadsheet.
Well, Wisconsin did during the season win 6 in a row, but I don't, I did not get into, RPI of the 6. Or
sure, sure, and maybe it wasn't in the conference. It was in the conference.
It was
too.
In the conference.
It was conference, so these are only conference winning streaks of 6 in a row. I think that this is a wide-open league. I could easily see Memphis coming out of that East region. I could easily see
Kansas Pastner, I think, is a knucklehead.
Oh, really? I could easily see Creighton end up in the Final Four. I could see a lot of these teams out of those. But I do think the South and the Midwest are the toughest, just based on my personal opinion.
Sure, sure. And I am just spouting KenPom numbers. So I'm going to pick one whole draft just based on KenPom. Forget what I think.
Sure.
But I did find it interesting that Creighton, the number one offense, Duke, the number two offense, and Michigan, the number three offense, all three have defenses 100+.
Wow.
They all have terrible defenses. So that means to me they're going to overwhelm to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And then it is a straight coin toss if they survive in advance at that point.
Well, just as history goes, KenPom adjusted offense, adjusted defense, the champion has always sort of had, a top 15 of both over the past
point.
Top 20.
Yeah,
okay.
There's the KenPom 2020 that's actually
2020.
In this article.
Okay. I knew it was a number. 2020. And, that would just tell you that these teams can win games, but they're not going to advance, deep into the tournament.
They're not a true contender.
They're not a true contender. There's a lot of teams out there that are in one of the other categories. There's not a lot of teams that are in both. Those teams are the ones that you want to circle and have them advance deep into the tournament.
And a kick to the nuts is two of those teams, which there may only be three. KenPom 2020, we have Florida, their offense 17, defense 5.
Virginia. Virginia's 25.
Virginia's 25-3, so they're just out.
Wichita's one.
Wichita State and Louisville. And I'm trying to see if there's a fourth, because Arizona's 35. And Wisconsin's apparently got a drop D. So
there's
got three teams that technically qualify
four.
Per KenPom. Who's the fourth?
Florida, Virginia, Wichita.
No, Virginia's 25.
Oh.
They're just on the cusp.
Yeah, they're just on the cusp.
And what sucks is two of them play each other in the Sweet 16.
Potentially.
In our region. All right, so then I go to a section called our teams to watch out for. And these are the teams. I have a whole section also on toughest seeds. So the seeds that are the best KenPom rating of the four in their line. So all the number one seeds. The toughest one is Arizona. They're rated number one on KenPom. Villanova's the toughest number two on KenPom. Toughest number three is Duke. Toughest number four is Louisville, and so on. Well, Kentucky's the toughest number eight because they are number 17 in KenPom, but an eight seed, which would be an equivalent of a 32 rank.
Right.
But they're
right.
17, so they're half better than that in KenPom's eyes. Well, not only does Louisville and Wichita meet in the Sweet 16, they may not because one of the most underseeded teams is actually Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised that they were an eight, just like I was as surprised that Louisville was a four. I felt like Kentucky, you know, they're right out on the cusp of the top 25 going into the SEC tournament, and you know, they go to the final. They play Florida within one. I feel like that's a six,
yeah,
maybe a five. And you could maybe even convince me that they're a seven, but I don't see them as an eight.
Florida, you can almost beat anyone.
Right, and I just don't see that that's an eight going and playing another one, number one seed. I think they did it to Wichita, and actually I think the committee actually hedged their bet a lot with Wichita. So they said, oh, well, if Wichita gets, you know, if they play, if they don't have Kansas State, they'll at least get Louisville. So they're going to have to play one of the two at minimum, yeah, defending national champions.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can do that, and everybody's going to get it on them on their schedule and everything, but if Kansas State beats Kentucky, that's still a good win.
Another storyline. Drew Diener was talking about this the other day, that no matter how you set it up, there's probably some storyline that comes out the other side. So right now, I was thinking the storyline is 40-0 wannabe, sure, Kentucky playing 40-0 actually doing it,
yeah,
Wichita State. And then if they say they lose and Wichita State's have the Final Four rematch.
Right.
And, but if Kentucky wins, then they move on to play their in-state rival.
Exactly.
And then if Kentucky wins again, they play probably Duke.
Yeah, or if Louisville plays, they probably play Duke or Michigan.
Yeah, so it's it really is. Storyline's kind of going in all directions. But I didn't even think about if Wichita State could make it to 40-0 and beat the last two national champs on their way.
Yeah, then there's nothing else to talk about. Like, and honestly, I think anybody that's out there hating on Wichita State is really misguided.
Because they are Louisville fans. Louisville fans understand.
I've seen them. You know, all they lose is Armstrong. And honestly, Armstrong was a big deal about beating the press last year against the Cards. But he was a...
Armstead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember
Armstrong.
It was Malcolm Arm. Malcolm Arm something. I remember that. I'm pretty sure it was Malcolm Armstead.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was instrumental in getting the ball up the floor against the Cards, but he was a zero factor on offense. Now, their point guard is a big part of their offense. Their offense is better. Are they as good defensively? Hell yeah. You know, they've been great all year. 10th defense in the country, according to KenPom.
Yep.
They're extremely good on defense. And I just honestly, I think that they're better than they were last year. Cle'Anthony Early has improved his NBA potential as a lottery pick.
He was great last year.
And, you know, they have every ingredient to win the national championship. And any team that has to play them is going to have their hands full.
And that is including winning six games in a row. That is last 10, they've won 10. Obviously, their streak's 33-0.
34-0.
34-0. They're top tier in both offense and defense. Now, it's not ironic that the two teams that are both top 10 in KenPom also both have a strength of schedule of 95 or worse. I'm sure that factored in greatly, but I do think Louisville still would have a shot at top 20 at both with a tougher schedule. But that's our region. I just think that people are hoping for Kansas State to beat Kentucky. But if you look at KenPom, they're ranked 104th in offense, and they're short.
Yeah.
So that's just not going to happen unless Kentucky totally chokes it up, and it's just not going to happen. Kentucky is going to play Wichita State.
I think so too.
And Louisville is going to play the winner of those two games.
It would be fantastic if Kansas State could beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I would like to see the game too.
Yep.
So on one hand, it would be great if Kentucky could lose. And on the other hand, It would be great if Louisville could play them.
Yeah, I just hate the matchup.
Yeah, and I don't want to deal with it all week, honestly. I got too much going on in my life. I don't want to think about Louisville and Kentucky for 6 days.
Yeah.
But who in each region, if you had to pick an upset, who would it be?
Well, if one way you could do that is if you go to and look at the worst of the seeds and the strongest of the seeds, if you look at the best 12, that's Harvard. They're 33 on KenPom.
Wow.
And 33 on KenPom.
They're up against my Cincinnati Bearcats.
And they're up against Cincinnati.
my team that I picked.
Is 110th on offense.
Wow.
So if they're not scoring well, who knows?
Sweat bullets now.
Yeah, maybe. but, you know, the 12-5 historically is a good one. And North Carolina State, I think, although their defense is terrible, I think St. Louis has an awful offense, and they're on a slide. So I do think that NC State, that 12-5 in the Midwest, is a good one. I do think Tennessee is going to win tonight. So this podcast could be completely moot on this point by the time you listen to it. UMass is good, but Tennessee is playing really good, and they got good players. I think that's an upset that could happen in the Midwest. I'll do two in each bracket. Well, actually, you do Midwest picks now.
You want me to do Midwest?
Yeah, we'll go each.
On the Midwest, I agree on the North Carolina State one wholeheartedly. I think the region in the Midwest is so strong that North Carolina State is like really the only like real upset against a 12 against a 5 that could happen. Like, could Mercer beat Duke? Sure. Could Manhattan beat Louisville? I don't think so. But you know, I think that region is really strong. That the seeds will remain intact. I think Tulsa's in trouble against UCLA. Or, I'm sorry, UCLA is in trouble against Tulsa.
Okay, what region is that?
And that is in the South.
All right, so we're moving to the South region. Mark's got a 13 over a 4 UCLA.
Yeah, and I also believe Dayton is going to give Ohio State everything that they want in that South region as well.
That is an interesting one because Ohio State has a terrible offense, but a great defense.
Yeah,
and Dayton's the flip. They got a great offense, bad defense.
And the thing about Dayton, and I know this, just I don't even know how, but they lost like 3 games to buzzer beaters, and they were in a lot of games. And their record could have been 3 games heavier.
Ohio State's been ducking them. This is the dream game.
Yep.
For Dayton, Louisville, Kentucky, 1983.
It'll be I mean, they're not that far apart. Ohio State won't play them. Dayton's going to get them in Buffalo, New York. I think it's a huge game. It happens tomorrow. You know, today the podcast is going to get released. I like that game a lot. And then, you know,
stay in the South because I got to get myself.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm good with the South.
Okay,
I don't have anything else that would really be significant.
Here's a wimpy upset: 9-8 Pittsburgh, Colorado. Pittsburgh is woefully underseeded. They're 18th in KenPom, which means they're a 5 seed and they're a 9 seed. So
I'll go with that too.
They are the second worst place seed based on KenPom.
Yep.
That's a wimpy one. Let me see here. As I look at this, I'm going to go second round, New Mexico over Kansas, because Kansas is going to be limping without Embiid. New Mexico is top 40 in both offense, defense, KenPom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kansas, I don't know why they gave them the 2 seed and gave Louisville a 4 seed, considering how their season's in and their current state of health and the eye test and everything.
I agree.
But I think New Mexico-Kansas is one to watch for second round.
I totally agree with you. And another second round one to look out for would be Connecticut over Villanova, the old Big East matchup. I really like Connecticut. I know that they're going to have their hands full against that St. Joe's team. But here's another example of where the committee...
Hold on. You're in the East.
I'm in the East, yes.
We are moving to the East.
Sorry. but here we are. Like, just take that little region again in the East, the 7-10-2-15 matchup.
Okay.
The committee has, again, shown a way that they're going to manipulate the schedule to set up a rivalry matchup between St. Joe's and Villanova, two Philadelphia schools.
Yeah.
That's really, really manipulative. But I think Connecticut will win that game, and I think Villanova will advance, and I think Connecticut advances to the Sweet 16 over them.
Okay. In the East, as I look at this, I'm going to say Providence over North Carolina, possible, although I have North Carolina as a dark horse in that region. Providence has been playing good in one game, who knows. But I don't feel as strong about that one.
I'll say North Carolina will beat Iowa State in round 2.
Okay.
Six over three.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I really think that will happen for sure.
I can see that. Yeah, and I haven't watched Harvard, so I can't really say 12-5 on Cincinnati there, although Cincinnati's offense can be anemic. I do not have much information on Harvard other than what Kim Pump says, so I'm not even going to speak about it.
Right.
All right, so West, that's our last one.
The West, another example of the committee setting up a rivalry game, is a Nebraska-Creighton potential second-round game.
Yeah.
I don't think Nebraska will beat Baylor. I think Creighton will advance. But for me, I really think New Mexico State is going to take down San Diego State. That's Marvin Menzies' team.
Yep.
And I think that that team can really do some damage. Will they beat Oklahoma? Probably not. But I do think San Diego State is in trouble in that game.
That is another flipper, just like Dayton and Ohio State, in the fact that from KenPom's perspective, you've got one really good at offense and bad at the defense, and one really good at defense and bad at the offense. So another coin toss. So there's going to be a lot we're going to learn in this NCAA tournament, maybe for next year.
Sure.
Like KenPom, when there's a coin flip on offense-defense, the offense won more, the defense won more. It'll be interesting to see how these plan out, knowing their numbers before the tournament.
Or is it still a coin flip at the end of it?
Yeah, that's right. However you like to do it. Let's see here. If I'm looking at these, I'm going to say the upset potential is going to be, and I've mentioned it earlier, I'm going to go with Okie State. I mean, they're fully healthy, right?
They are. And you know, Marcus Smart is back, and everything's
good. I'm going to say Okie State, not over Gonzaga, is the upset, the 9-8, although it would be.
It would be.
I'm going to say Okie State over Arizona, second round.
I mean, it could happen because the Cowboys have been through a lot. They've been through a great deal as a team. Arizona's been rolling through a very kind of weak Pac-12, okay? And Okie State has been in a better Big 12, in my opinion. And they've been through some trials. And it could easily happen there. How many ones can really go down early? I mean, Pitt could give Florida trouble. Okie State could give Arizona trouble. I do not believe Memphis could give Virginia trouble.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Wichita could be getting in trouble with Kentucky. I don't think that all four will go down, but I do think that they all potentially could be very good games.
And people's mistakes are overpicking their upsets.
Yep.
You know, it's really about being selective there. And the 9-8s, those happen. The 7-10s, those happen. But when it really gets to an upset pick, people tend to overpick them. So you don't want to overthink it. You really want to do your homework. We've got some homework on thecrunchzone.com. We're going to look up KenPom stuff, but there's certainly other services that do stuff.
13s have beaten 4 seeds the last 6 years in the NCAA tournament. And that's just something that you got to always look out for. Traditionally, 5s... Get beat by 12.
Manhattan, don't get any big ideas.
Don't get any big ideas, Manhattan. That loss is going to come from somewhere else. And I think this year it comes from the Tulsa matchup.
Okay, so just to go over real quick, I did best overall KenPom ratings for a region was actually the West. A lot of people would be surprised to hear that. That's just very good balance, 1 through 16. That means some regions just have better tops and weaker bottoms.
We've all seen that.
He said bottoms.
Tops and bottoms.
KenPom's offensive efficiency rating, so just the offense, West again comes out on top on all 16. When it goes to the top 8 seeds, it's the West. But top 4, here it comes, it's Louisville's region because Duke is number 2 and Michigan's number 3 in offense.
Yeah.
Louisville's top 20. So going to defense, the best defensive regions, number 1 for overall is Midwest. That's where Louisville is. If you go just the top 8 seeds, it goes to the South, so Florida's region. But when you hit the top 4 seeds alone, I'm kind of surprised at this, but it is Louisville's region. And I guess it's because of Wichita State and Louisville being ranked so high, because Michigan and Duke sure as hell are ranked very low in defense.
Sure. I'm really excited about this tournament. I think before, I know I was upset about the seed, but I think I was maybe most happy that the games, the regionals, would happen in Indianapolis. And that's a blessing in a lot of different ways. I think if you're a Card fan, you're okay if Duke wins because they didn't bring a lot of fans to Indianapolis last year. You definitely don't want Kentucky if you're competing for tickets, and you definitely don't want Michigan. Yeah. So if the perfect example here would be to go Wichita, Louisville, Duke, and you know potentially get like I guess you end up having to get Michigan in there because I just don't see them losing.
Yeah,
you know, Texas, maybe Texas gets
a little
hot,
bit of a fraud.
But
they're good, but not
you know. So the best case scenario really that is, you know, plausible would be Louisville and Michigan fans competing for tickets into Indianapolis. And that's just a ticket perspective. But I'm excited about this tournament a great deal. It's going to hurt me tomorrow, today, when this podcast gets released, that I'm not in Orlando.
Yeah.
But it will be a blessing because I'll be able to travel to the regional end of the Final Four. We got hotels booked at both locations.
All right.
We're all set. So, but I was in Memphis last week, and that was a ball. And the Anton Gill, I'd like to say thank you to Anton Gill.
Yeah.
For taking the camera and taking us a ride on that dual personality.
So, folks, if you haven't seen that, Anton Gill rips the camera out of Mark's hands and celebrating their
it's my dad's hands, really.
Your dad's hands. And starts interviewing the players. It was really funny as they walked around player to player. And the interviews were nothing like the media interviews. So that was that was exciting to see.
It was. And, you know, to be honest, when he was doing it, I was not confident that he had pressed record at all. And so I kind of was like wondering if is this really being recorded, is he just being silly? Then we got back, it was on the camera. So it was actually really cool. Some really funny moments. You get to see how close this team is and who they are. Because a lot of times we interview them and they have their game face on. And they don't want to say anything that, you know, anybody's going to use. And
very standard responses.
Extremely standard. Bull Durham.
They're all very nice.
They've been
coached up for media.
They definitely have been. And that's good. But, you know, it's always good to see a fresh take on things. So.
Well, I want to bring up, just before we go, the worst team in the tournament.
Cal Poly.
No.
No? Not Cal Poly? 13-19 Cal Poly?
Coastal Carolina has an...
Oh, shit.
Coastal Carolina has an RPI, or KenPom, of a 232.
Oh, no.
Which means if the tournament was big enough, they would have been a 58th seed. They don't have 58 seeds, so they're a 16 seed.
But you imagine
that they would have to go really far down to get Coastal into the tournament.
That's amazing.
They earned it.
I wonder if Vegas would have them favored over anybody in the tournament. Just like Louisville, you know, the Wynn Sportsbook said that they would have Louisville favored over in a head-to-head matchup over every single team.
Yeah.
Louisville's played 45 straight games in a row as the favorite. That's impressive.
Yeah.
This is Las Vegas. They obviously haven't won all those games, but they're also 20 of their last 21 games in the postseason. That's huge.
We're in the second golden age of Louisville basketball. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
There is, and actually, this when they tip off in Orlando, this will be the second time in school history that Louisville will have appeared in 8 consecutive NCAA tournaments. And if they make a 9th next year, it'll be the longest streak in school history.
Wow.
So it is the golden age. I think to make it the very best golden age, to make a Final Four this year, maybe another national championship. Yes, never been done. And that would be Rick Pitino's stamp on the program, his legacy.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all want another national championship. Yeah. I'm happy with one.
Sure.
Greed. I'm not even greedy for another one. I'm thankful for the year that we've already had.
Yeah.
But I just can't fathom 2 in a row. And I think we could make
it. We wouldn't even know what to do.
I think I could.
We would quit being fans of the program. We're like, all right, well, we'll never beat that again.
I think I'm just going to go on vacation during the Final Four.
Sports.
Yeah, why would I even think about this again? And maybe they can make a run at a 3rd in a row, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
God, I love March Madness.
It's a blast. And, you know, sometimes I look around and I'm like, I can't believe that we're lucky enough to do this.
I'm going
to
throw this out just to make you sweat.
Oh,
but
that's fine.
Harvard being the best 12 seed, based on KenPom, they are underseeded by 3 spots.
Incredible. Oh, so you're just really wanting me to sweat the Cincinnati thing out.
No, you know, pick who you want, because, I mean, who knows? This is just math.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, there's a lot of factors that, you know, it's like magic.
I'm picking Cincinnati just because there's not really a great option out of that region, to be honest with you. Anybody
Louisville does play the best 13 seed.
Oh, yeah.
We just are going to beat them.
Yes, but and they have to be pummeled into submission, and Steve Masiello is just going to have to deal with it, and we'll root for him next year. But I think Rick Pitino is really mad because he's going to have to play Masiello.
No, he is mad. He is flat out mad.
And Richard,
in the press conference,
today. Richard did not get in the tournament. He's got his deck is stacked against him. I think he's going to take this personally.
Yeah.
I think he's going to use that to his advantage in game preparation. I think Montrezl Harrell's mad, and I think if anybody in the world that you don't want to throw gasoline on the fire, it's Russ Smith.
Right.
And Russ Smith has been disrespected. He's continually disrespected by the NBA. He
finally got his credit with the AP and all the other All-American selections that he was honored to get. He's not consensus yet because they haven't released the full list yet. All of them aren't out. But you're talking about a guy who's going to make a run at the fourth scoring person in Louisville basketball history.
About 100-something points.
He can make a run at Reese. Right now he's fifth.
And by the way, Reese played a very solid freshman year. He averaged about 9 a game or something.
Yep.
Russ had 28 total points his freshman year.
In like 67
So this is he is making a run at number 4 all-time scoring with essentially 3 years of playing basketball.
Yep. One more steal. He's first all-time in steals.
Over Peyton.
Over Peyton, who set the record last year.
Yeah, he set it last year, which it existed since Griffith.
In 1980. Yeah. So it existed
for 34
years. And then these two guys, exactly. They're in the same backcourt. They're setting back-to-back records.
Chris Jones is actually making a good run. And we're not going to get into him right now. But
he's 13th this season.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Continue on.
13th this season, Chris Jones cracked it. And then, you know, for assist, we never thought this would happen. Russ Smith is 10th in a single season.
He's not 10th?
In a single season.
Oh, that's awesome.
With 159 assists.
Yeah.
And that would have never happened. His turnovers were way down. He's done everything that the NBA can really ask of him.
Yeah.
And for him to, during the AAC tournament, to pass the Bradford Smith, Derek Smith, and Milt Wagner in scoring in one tournament, for a career, that's incredible. His 42 that he had against Houston, I'll never forget that. That was incredible. Montrezl Harrell's dunking the ball like crazy. Louisville has Russ Smith. They have Montrezl
Harrell. Van Treese is averaging like 9 rebounds a game the last 4 games.
And haven't even mentioned Luke Hancock yet.
Right.
Chris Jones is playing out of his mind.
Wayne's still every other game, but hey, we'll take him.
Yeah, and we're going to play. I mean, the Cards are going to Am Wayne Arena. This is going down. You know, you can get your pyramid scheme on Wayne this weekend, Thursday and Saturday, and we're going to be at the O-Line Sports Grill watching that game from the Amway Arena at the O-Line Sports Grill. I can't wait for it.
It was 3-0 with our O-Line Sports Grill party, so I don't want to put any guilt trips or don't ruin Louisville's
run. Got to be there.
But if you're listening, we're 3-0 there, so don't mess up the mojo.
Don't mess up the mojo. We got to go there. We had a Russ Smith game winner at the O-Line Sports Grill.
Right. Cincinnati.
The Cincinnati. We had the Connecticut when Kevin Ollie got thrown out of the game.
Our first big win of the year
and then,
at the O-Line.
And then the UConn football game, they won that. They went 12-1. There's some magic happening at the O-Line Sports Grill. It's more than just the food, which is very good, by the way.
Yeah.
And they have incredible drink specials. But this is our last time that we're going to be able to watch a game together because I'm going to be in attendance. And you are too, I hope, for all these other games. And Crum's Revenge is going to be some serious highlight videos.
Right.
I can already feel it. And if Louisville makes another run in the national championship, it's a very special time. And I want to hang out with you guys before we go on the road for the final time and extend this thing going on.
That's right. And, folks, that's going to do it for this week's podcast. We'll get into more spring coverage next week because there's still quite a few more days of spring practice. So we'll take our notes. But right now, we're just going to focus on March Madness as we did. And we hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget, you can check us out on Louisville.am. You can set us up for immediate download on iTunes, or you can go to thecrunchzone.com. So just remember, every week we're going to kick out these podcasts, and we're going to keep you up to date with Louisville sports. We appreciate you listening.
Louisville
and Mark,
first.
You got it.
Go Cards. I promise to rep the